I want to read to you from Acts chapter 8. Beginning in verse 5. And we'll read down through verse 13. We'll stop there. The church in Jerusalem is undergoing intense persecution. Persecution like they've not experienced. They've saw Jesus be persecuted. They know that he was mistreated. He warned them that as followers of Christ, they might be mistreated and that they might have bad things said about them and bad things done to them. Now, when he ascended into heaven, he told his disciples that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, to all the world. At the point in the beginning of chapter 8, they haven't left Jerusalem. It's time for them to leave Jerusalem. It's time for them to reach out. It's time for them to move. And one of the things that causes them to move is persecution. And God uses things like that from time to time to help us do what we're supposed to do. And I want to read this to you, and then we'll talk about it. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto the things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing his miracles, which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, crippledness, and they that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. And there was a certain man called Simeon, some say Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he was a great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip's preaching and the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simeon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. May we pray. Heavenly Father, you know everyone's heart. And Father, you know what we need. We need the truth of your word to quicken our lives. No matter how long or how short we've been a follower and a disciple. Have your way in our service. Bring glory to your Son. Guide and direct. Jesus' name. Amen. It is painful for us when we have someone who talks to us and convinces us that they really are a friend, and that they're really close to us, and that they're really one of us, only later to find out that wasn't the case. They had given to us lip service, a casual conversation. They may have patted us on the back, they may have given us a hug, but when it came down to the nitty gritty, like what I say, push came to shove, they weren't there. And they had only given us lip service. It seems that Simeon had only given lip service to his relationship with Jesus Christ. He offered himself as a candidate for baptism, was baptized, seemingly made the profession of faith. He followed Philip around and was awed by Philip's ministry. He was a part of the congregation in looks only. His heart was not there. His life was not there. He had never truly become a follower of Jesus Christ. He had never truly been born from above. He had never truly been changed, only gave lip service. It says here in this text in verse 12 that many in Samaria were baptized after hearing Philip. Philip preached the gospel. They saw him heal the sick. They saw him cast out demons. And many truly gave their life to Christ. God is working in Samaria. The power of the Holy Spirit is there in Philip's life, and God is convicting and convincing and converting people. What a revival breaks out here. They were baptized. Among them is this man named Simeon, who had been a sorcerer. Now, to understand for him to be a sorcerer, use witchcraft, he had to be under the control of Satan. He was at least controlled by a demon, a powerful one. One that used him to hoodwink and deceive the people. He had probably led many away. He probably had a good following. And he comes and presents himself to Philip. Now, we find in this text that the word gets back to Jerusalem, gets back to the apostles. People had left, but the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. Verse 14, it says, "Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John." Now something happens here that doesn't happen any other time. They had not yet in Samaria received the Holy Spirit as the possessor of their life. Today, when we believe and we're born again, he's there in our heart and in our life. We don't have to have the pastor or deacons or anybody lay hands on us and pray for us. Why is Samaria different? I could ask the similar question, why was the house of Cornelius different? Because they believed. Why were the apostles there? Well, Samaritans were not thought of as good people. They did not have friendship with the Jews. Chapter 4 of John, the lady from Samaria, the city of Sychar, she wonders why Jesus would even talk to her, a Samaritan. They didn't do that. Most of the Jews walked plumb around Samaria because they hated them. The Samaritans were Jewish and Gentile mix. And Jews didn't like them because of that. If the apostles had not been there, when the Holy Spirit came on them, they would have been treated as second-class church, if a church at all. Remember, Simeon the sorcerer did mighty things. And they could have said, well, you know, that's all of the devil. It's not of God. But when they prayed and God intervened and God showed himself, they had to say, it's of God. And same thing at Cornelius' house. Or Gentiles, they can't be in the inner court of the temple. They got to sit out there, and they way out there in the outer court where we sell and change money and do all that stuff. We don't want them in here. You know, they just barely above a dog. But at Cornelius' house, when Peter preached and explained the gospel, they believed, and the Spirit of God came upon them. And Peter later said, it came on them like it did us. God's building this church. He's making everybody one. At the foot of the cross, Jew, Gentile, Samaritan, man, woman, boy, girl, prostitute, homosexual, doesn't matter. At the foot of the cross, God changes lives and they all become one in Christ. But I want you to see something. Water baptism is absolutely invalid if there's not a changed life. You can be dunked 100 times, and if your life isn't changed, it ain't going to get you to heaven. Any English teachers in here? Oh, well, overlook my hillbilly ease. I use ain't once in a while to get the point across. We don't get redeemed by water, immersion. We get redeemed from above by the power of God. He changes our life. You can't explain it in all of its fullness. But you know when it happens. And I look in people's eyes, and there's a twinkle there after they get saved. And if somebody's up here at the altar praying, and we pray, and they go through the system of praying and asking Christ and all that stuff, and they get up and there's no twinkle in their eye, I go, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm not sure about that one. You know, Lord. Simeon prayed, and Simeon was baptized. Philip baptized redeemers, and Philip baptized lost people. And I'm sure in my ministry of years, I have baptized many redeemed. but I am sure I have baptized some lost people. There's probably people on this church roll who are redeemed, but there's probably some on the church roll who are lost. Simeon was one of them. And it becomes evident pretty quick. Peter and John come down and they lay hands on them and pray for them, and the Spirit of God comes and seals them for all of eternity. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. We're sealed for eternity by the Holy Spirit of God. There's evidence that God did something. And Simeon says, if I had that power, I could charge for it. Not only that, they'd follow me everywhere. I'd be a big man. So what does he do? He offers them money if they give him that power. Salvation can't be bought. Redemption can't be bought. The presence of God's Holy Spirit in your life cannot be bought with money. And Peter gets all over him. Verse 20. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. 21. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Now I want you to see what Simon said in verse 24. Peter said, repent. Call upon God. Change your heart. Simon says, 24, then answered Simon and said, pray ye the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. What? Is that what Peter said? If you ask, we'll pray for you. That's not what Peter said. Peter said, you got to pray, Simon. Simeon, if you don't pray, you're in trouble. If you don't repent, you're in trouble. And Simeon says, why don't you pray for me? Remember King Saul? When he didn't do what God said? Samuel comes and he, why do I hear the bleating of the sheep? Why do I hear that? Oh, you know, we kept the best to sacrifice. Oh, there's the king. I thought he was supposed to be there. So Samuel takes a sword and hacks Agag to pieces. That's a bloody thing. He didn't just run it through him. He hacked him to pieces. Samuel dressed Saul down. And Saul says, why don't you pray for me? I can't pray anybody into heaven or out of hell, no matter how much I want. I drive by, coming through Jonesboro, Friday night.
It's busy. Friday night, you know, people out running around, eating, partying. Some of them, the way they drive and look like they had one or two already too many. I said, Jimmy, how many of these people you think going to hell right now? He said, 99.99% of them probably. I said, Jimmy, how can we tell them? How can we get the gospel to them? How can we help them see Jesus? Because if we could, we'd have stopped and prayed all them into heaven. We can't do it. We can tell them about Jesus. We can tell them he died on the cross for our sins. He took our place. He was a sacrifice for sin, one time, for all of eternity, for all of mankind. Every pain, every agony that I should have suffered for my sin, he did on the cross. But not only for me, for you, your family, your neighbor, your acquaintances, co-workers. He died for you, for you, for them. What a Savior. We can tell them, but we cannot pray them into heaven or out of hell. They got to make that decision themselves. And we can pray that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit will get all over them. We can pray that God will just jump all over them with his Holy Spirit and show them Jesus. And we can pray that. But if they reject Jesus, we can't do any more. Just keep praying and loving them. When it all boiled down, everybody but Simeon in this passage really were saved. It appears. And he never asked Jesus. He never repented that we know of. You see, it's kind of like a marriage. Chris and I got married. We said our vows before the preacher, and we had witnesses and stuff, family. And then after that, we went off to a football game, believe it or not. Her school and my school were playing, and I wanted to go see how bad we're going to beat up on them, and we did. We've been doing that for 4 or 5 years. Anyway, about 2 weeks later, if I'd have said, Chris, I'm not going to be home early tonight. It's going to be late. You might as well go on to bed. I got a date with Susie. Oh, yeah. It hit the fan. All kinds of stuff would have happened. She'd have been upset with me forever over that. Because Susie's the girl that said to me, don't marry her, marry me. Chris didn't like that. I don't blame her. My vows and my commitment were to Chris. But if I'd had a date with Susie, I would only give lip service to my vows and my commitment to Chris. When you and I unite with Christ, we are united with Him by the Spirit of God. We become a child of God. Don't give lip service. Really mean it. It's got to be real. Because baptism doesn't save. Baptism is a blessing of obedience to Jesus Christ. Whenever you head down.
Father, boy, sometimes we just don't always come through. Sometimes we give lip service. Sometimes we fail in our walk with You because our heart is not there. Simeon's heart was not there. And I pray if anyone's heart is not there today, the convincing, convicting presence of the Holy Spirit would work in that life and on that heart for the glory of Christ. His name I pray. Amen.